Barn Diva reservations and menu at barndiva.com. Additional support for Mouthful on KRCB comes from our members and from the new Jack and Tony's on 4th Street in Santa Rosa's Old Railroad Square. Offering American cuisine for the discerning palate, reservations at 526-4347. It is 7 p.m. and time for the wine country's most delicious hour and Mouthful.
You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out there.
Come over here, kid. Where's up? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. It's then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. Guess what? It's raining again. You know, there's that moment when it doesn't rain for like maybe 2 hours. God, it's great we had all this rain, but now we're done. And you walk outside and it's raining again. And I love the rain, but still it was like, what? It's raining again? I got to go get my boots and with all the mud on them. Anyway, I do love the rain. It's great. Great that our reservoirs are being filled. I don't like droughts, but I do hope you have all been safe and warm and not too many down trees troubling you. Been hard for the farmer's market. I wanted to go on Wednesday, and there were two troopers. I know Triple T Farm was there and one other farm, I'm not sure. And they were so battered by the elements. Wednesday was the storm was really, really big. But there they were in that lonely parking lot at the Veterans Building in Santa Rosa. You know, that's really, really dedication. Tonight we're going to be talking about mustard, specifically the Napa Valley Mustard Festival. We'll find out. I think it's the 19th year, which I think it's really troubling since I remember the first year. But before that, I just want to tell you something, just in case you don't know about it, because I think everyone should know about it, and it's outside of the purview of Mouthful. It's the Supreme Court decision that came down, I think it was Thursday, that lifted restrictions on the amount of money that corporations could spend in political campaigns. And it, you know, nobody acted like it was this big, huge deal comparable in a certain way to say September 11th, 2001. But I think it's huge. And one of the people that has been saying some very astute things about it is a congressman from Florida, Alan Grayson. If you can find any of the interviews that he gave on Thursday, and he was in the Supreme Court when the issue was given, he spells it out really well. He was on Countdown with Keith Olbermann, and it was later replayed in a number of places, including it on Steve Jackson's on KSRO, The Drive Show. So try to find that if you can. Get involved. There's a couple of Facebook pages about this, and the protest against it is starting to take the form of let's get rid of corporate personhood, because that was the reasoning in the Supreme Court argument. To boil it down into like the crudest terms, it's like, well, Corporations a long time ago were given person status. Therefore, we cannot limit their free speech in any way. And I think most reasonable people probably feel like the amount of money that is involved in corporations now was not comparable to the amount of money involved in corporations then. And there's even a lot of speculation that it gives multinational corporations with a foothold in America the right, the ability to influence elections in a truly major way. Grayson is saying, Congressman Grayson is saying that this is, you know, a huge, enormous, catastrophic blow to democracy. And from everything I've read, listened to, and studied, it seems to me it's probably the biggest thing to happen in this country in more than a century. So check it out, won't you? And if you happen to be online and you want to know more about Mouthful and you're not yet a fan, if you're on Facebook or decide to join Facebook, you can become a fan on Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious, our fan page, and I post updates, websites of all our guests, and all that sort of thing. So, and it's really, the reason I do it is it's really easy. To post something on Facebook is way easier than to post an update on my own website or Mouthful's website. So it's easy, and that's cool because you just want to get the information out there quickly. Okay, and on that rather windy note, let me welcome Pat Summers. Hi.
Hi, Michelle. It's so good to see you.
It's great to see you. It's been a while.
It has been.
It's been even longer since you've been here, I think.
Quite a while. Yeah. I remembered the way, though.
Good. And you, what, had some trees down on the road?
Trees
something?
Down on our road. We live on a windy country road up behind Ravenswood Winery in Sonoma, and had just some branches down that I had to get out and move, and just got a little late and wet, but I'm fine.
You're here.
I'm here.
Right on time.
Right on time.
How many years now is it for the Mustard Festival?
17.
Okay, not 19.
Yeah, 17.
2 years. And it started out, what, is a two-day or three-day event?
No, actually, because of the event that we used to do for so many years, the Sonoma Salute to the Arts,
right?
The a committee from the Yountville Chamber of Commerce was seeking a way to promote the off season, and you know they knew, locals knew about how beautiful it is in the wintertime when the wild mustard is blooming, mm-hmm. and they decided to try to build some kind of an event around the wild mustard in bloom, and they came and talked to me because. There was, we had a reputation for being able to pull together a large event and connect a lot of people. And
we should
network.
Say we is Summers McCann,
our company.
Public relations. Is
yes.
that the full name?
Yeah. Yes. And so a man named George Rothwell came and spoke with me about it. And we got very excited thinking about the potential of this. And we, by the end of our 3-hour initial meeting, we had come up with doing a whole season of events, not just an event, mm-hmm. but framing the time when wild mustard blooms with events and creating some excitement and that would generate people, you know, get people to come during the off season and, you know, generate publicity about it and get the word out that it's a great time to visit, mm-hmm. not just, you know, not just summer and harvest, but the actual winter time that's, you know, sort of building into spring is an excellent time when there's not a lot going on. There's not, a lot of crowds. You can, you know, get a lot more, you know, face-to-face time with winemakers and mm-hmm. chefs and you
don't,
know.
You spend more time with winemakers, less time sitting on Highway 29.
Exactly. So we were very excited about our idea. We didn't have any money to do it with, but we thought it's such a great idea. We'll just go out and find the money. And we talked with various people. We met with the then Napa Valley Conference and Visitors Bureau, which is now transformed into the Napa Valley Destination Council just in the last year. And we met with the Vintners Association, the Bed and Breakfast Associations, every association out there that we could think of. And everybody thought it was a great idea. And then we got a few wonderful folks, George Rothwell, first of all, himself, who owned a small company called Antique Fair, a successful antique company, put up $5,000. We met with George Gogel at Auberge Soleil. We met with the Embassy Suites. We met with Mike Moon, who was part of the Napa Valley Mustard Company at that time. Mm-hmm. And we got, I guess, about a group of five sponsors together to each put up $5,000, totaling $25,000, and we just mm-hmm. went for it. We put it together in just a very few months. The first Mustard Festival started in January, and it just took off. It took off.
Yeah, I remember there was something that went on at the fairgrounds
in
with
Calistoga.
Lots of booths.
Yeah.
And that's because I remember I was part of the. So I think it came out. I think your. The first Mustard Festival was the same year that my book about mustard came out.
I think so.
Yeah, so it was that odd coincidence. Yeah. And I remember that I had a booth there with my books.
Well, we did. We started the Mustard Magic was the very first event, and it was at St. Supery. We did an art competition, and that is how we selected our poster. Sarah Barnes, a Sonoma County resident, won that.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, she won the contest, and she did the first poster. It was fantastic and really successful. And then Calistoga did their event in March, and then we did the photo finish, which is you know, still going strong. We did it at MUM, and the gallery there had become a photography gallery under the guidance of Jim O'Shea, who was the hospitality director there and then became the hospitality director at Sterling Vineyards. But it just popped, and it just hit the right chord in every way. People were so excited about it, and all the events were well attended, and the photography contest got the images of that mustard in bloom out all over the world so people could see how beautiful it was.
Well, you know, it's interesting. That image is what inspired the book. I mean, I also did enough research to understand that there had not been a book written in America about mustard in a really long time. And there were a lot of specialty mustards, enough that there was clearly interest. But I always sneak as much narrative as I can into my books. Oh, you know, I'm really a writer.
That's why they're so great.
Well, thank you. And it was driving between Lakeville, where I lived, and Sonoma State in the spring with the fields of mustard. And I still remember it. My car was broken down. Someone was giving me a ride, and I was completely in love. You know, one of those misguided things. And, you know, my cheek against, you know, the cool window of this beat up red Volkswagen Bug and thinking about this guy I was in love with and looking out over those exquisite mustard fields. And I wrote about that, and that's the opening to the book.
It's
what I think of every spring. I mean, it's glorious.
It is. It's really breathtaking. And, there are so many different kinds of days. There are days when it's rainy, misty, and one of my favorite days are the days when it's not exactly raining, but there's this fog that kind of hangs over the hills and the vineyards, and it's just this most mystical with that beautiful golden mustard. Yeah. And then
the only colors are the green and the yellow, and everything else are these beautiful shades of gray and silver. Yeah. I love that,
too. It's a beautiful time. In fact, our poster this year, we always incorporate art into all of the events, living art, music, visual arts. It's just, you know, we like to make the events something a little bit different than every other food and wine event in the world, and they really always have a theatrical element. So anyway, we have always our posters starting with that first Sarah Barnes poster. We soon, the third year, discontinued the contest because we realized we were getting one really good poster each year, and we were in danger of maybe not getting a good one year. So we kept the contest going for art, which is really popular, and really it opens next weekend. But we started selecting and inviting artists to create the poster. And all of our posters, most of them have always included like whimsical figures that were having to do with food and wine. You know, we had Guy Buffet. We've had Carlo Morchiori, who lives in Calistoga. We've had Lowell Herrero, who's also a Calistoga artist, and Jessel. And they've all been very successful posters, but we wanted to do something really different this year. I just thought the times have changed. The corporate funding has become so tight. You know, we're all going through this. We need to do maybe a more serious, beautiful poster about the season. And I called my friend Ira Walk, who owned iWalk Gallery, and he had been a fan and supporter of the Mustard Festival since day one and has served on our judging committee for the photography contest for years. And I remembered an artist in his gallery named Thomas Monahan that had this incredible scenes that were not like your traditional landscapes, but they just were that very mystical kind of look that mm-hmm. I was talking about with the fog and the mist mm-hmm. and everything. And they just I remembered those paintings so strongly. So I called Ira, and shockingly, he had had a horrible bicycle accident the day before and had been airlifted to University of California, I think. And he passed away shortly thereafter.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I got the Thomas's number, and he actually lives here in Sonoma County, and he was really upset about losing Ira, and he said he would love to do the poster, and so we decided to dedicate it, and he did that very mystical, beautiful kind of painting. He did it in the Carneros, and it's just really moody and beautiful. It's being extremely well received.
Oh, it is. It gives me chills to look at. Yeah. Now, can people, while they're listening, can they go to a website and see this yet?
They can. It's at mustardfestival.org.
Okay. Yeah, this is really beautiful.
And they can see the real painting, which is even much more striking than the printed piece. At Hall Winery in St. Helena.
Oh, okay.
We did an opening Sunday before last with where we unveiled the painting, and we launched the bidding for the – we always put the original painting up for silent bid that mm-hmm. it goes for 2 months, so it will be given away at the photo finish.
Mm-hmm.
And not given away, but it will go to the highest bidder.
Highest bidder.
And so we got 4 bids that night, which was great. So the bid stands at $11,000 right now.
What's the dimension?
The dimension's 48 by 60. So it's
so
large,
really
painting,
big.
Beautiful,
it's
oil
really
painting,
gorgeous.
Well-framed, and it's really, really spectacular. Uh-huh. It would make a wonderful, you know, go in almost anybody's home or winery. It's just a beautiful piece.
Yeah, really beautiful piece for a winery with really high
mm-hmm.
walls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks great at Hall. They have it up behind the tasting bar.
Uh-huh. And, I'll have to go see it.
It's really pretty.
Well,
so
we're going to take a little break, musical break. You are listening to Mouthful of Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. We are talking about the Napa Valley Mustard Festival.
It's time for Mel. Tell us.
It was a sunny Sunday afternoon. Miss Dolly was having a barbecue. And I just happened to be leisurely strolling by.
My, what a strolling guy.
You should check out the website, the mustardfestival.org. Beautiful, beautiful images. And they're from the photography contest?
Yes. And there are some photographs from, you know, the events and from the art competitions around in there too, but all of those beautiful ones that you see when you go to the homepage that are changing are all from the photography contest. Mm-hmm.
And you know what, the way that you explain it, that it was the fields of mustard, because we don't. And later on in the show, we will explain the difference between the mustard that grows, the mustard that you slather on a hot dog, the mustard that you put into, you know, a vinaigrette, that sort of thing. But when you think that it was that visual inspiration
mm-hmm.
that launched the festival, it really makes sense that there's all these related art events. Tell us about, now I think it's next Saturday night, the gala.
The opening.
Tell us.
Mustard magic.
It's nearly indescribable.
Well, I have to tell you, last night I was working late, as I usually do at this time of year, and I got a call from a gentleman in New York. And he was just so nice, and we ended up chatting a bit. And he said, I'm going to come out, and I want to buy a ticket to this event because I have some friends that live in the Bay Area, and they've been coming every year for the last several years, and they told me it's the best $125 they have ever spent.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I thought that was quite a compliment. And,
yeah.
And also another story like that. We got a call last year from Rob Banning, the marketing director for Martha Stewart Living Radio, and he said pretty much the same thing. He said, mm-hmm. I've been coming to this event, and I want to get my station on board. So we negotiated with him or talked with him over a couple of months, and he ended up pulling it off that he brought the entire crew from Martha Stewart Living Radio to Napa Valley for 5 days, and they did the entire broadcast devoted to the Mustard Festival.
Now, when was this?
It was last year.
Oh,
and they're
last
coming
year's.
Again
oh,
this year.
Uh-huh.
They're coming in March, the week of the Marketplace, our big event.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, from that event, Mustard Magic, that is how we got that wonderful connection, because it really is. And you haven't come in a while. I hope you can.
Can I come this year?
Yeah. And it was, I mean, you walk in the door and there's just surprises everywhere. There's, you know, there'll be, I don't want to give away too much, but there'll be Thomas Monahan's painting mm-hmm. will be painted in huge form into a backdrop. And then there'll be ballet dancers and music in front of that painting. Because usually when we had the whimsical characters, we make those characters into, you know, costumed
characters.
Well,
whimsical characters in the poster.
Right. We take those out of the poster, we paint the backdrops, and we have actors in costume doing mm-hmm. coming to life and paintings throughout the building.
Yeah, the tableaus are wonderful.
The tableaus are wonderful. But in this case, it's going to be beautiful classical music with darling ballet dancers in front of the painting.
Oh, wow.
So
interesting.
That'll be what you see when you walk in the front door. Uh-huh. And then there'll just be wonderful food and wine all over the building, and there'll be a Lautrec lounge with great music and coffee and food and wine. Mm-hmm. And there'll be, I just won't tell you everything. You've got to come and see it. It's just so much fun. Then we have also a live auction on the third floor that starts at 9 after you've gotten lots to eat and drink uh-huh. and gone to the teaching kitchen where there's a great gourmet buffet.
Right.
And this year it's actually going to be it's really mouthwatering Italian cuisine mm-hmm. in there. And then the live auction starts at 9 and we have 30 great lots, which are travel and food and wine experiences and lots of overnight stays in Napa Valley at some of the best places. Mm-hmm. You know, Auberge du Soleil and Calistoga Ranch and Solage. We have a new lot that's a Via, the new hotel in downtown Napa. And it's for 8 people on a weekend, 2 nights. And they're going to have their chef do a dinner with Amelia Seja in the presidential suite, a private dinner. So that, uh-huh. that'll be fun. So there's a lot of things like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, Silverado always does a great lot with Rombauer Vineyards. And just we have – it's fun because when you start having an auction over a period of years and you have regular clientele, they get to know each other and they mm-hmm. have friendly rivalry. Yeah. It's a lot of fun and some really good – people get some really good deals because, you know, we aren't – the Napa Valley Wine Auction where
right.
people are bidding
yeah.
hundreds of thousands of
yeah,
dollars.
Yeah, you can get some really good.
So it's a great way to buy a nice trip. And we treat everybody that buys a ticket to a special party. It's going to be at Frank Family Vineyards on Friday night.
Oh, the night before?
The winery chefs, uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah. Then Christopher Hill, a really nice man that owns the Christopher Hill Gallery in St. Helena, has mm-hmm. a little gallery up there. So mm-hmm. he and Frank Family Vineyards are hosting this event, and it'll be
so for everyone who buys a ticket.
Everyone who buys a ticket to Mustard Magic will get an invitation.
Wow!
By an e-vite to this party. Of course, you know we usually have about 100 people come to the party,
uh-huh.
and it's people that are interested in the auction because the whole purpose is to give you your catalog
preview
uh-huh. the auction. So, anyway, it'll be a big weekend.
Yeah, and it's just. The thing I find most fun is all the whimsical, between the tableaus and the things that happen on 3 stories at one uh-huh. time. I won't give too many details. And the little, there have been ballet dancers, some of the kids from, students from ballet school mm-hmm. participating in the tableaus. It's just, I love that part of it. And the other thing is, it's rare that I ever feel underdressed. You know, I usually feel overdressed for California, but when I went to Mustard Magic, I actually felt underdressed. And it's like, wow, I have to come back because, I mean, you can dress up as much as you want.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, it's just fun to watch people. I love watching people who are dressed up and approaching, if not going all the way into the territory of costume.
Mm-hmm.
It's delightful.
It is. And Cynthia Beckley, the costumer, actually has created, I think, 5 beautiful gowns that we do like this every – we started this a couple years ago. And they do kind of like a mini fashion show as people are getting seated for the auction. It's really intriguing. It's really fun. She did absolutely stunning Art Nouveau gowns last year with headdresses. It was so popular. And I haven't seen the gowns. It's all a surprise to me.
Wow.
Too.
This sounds great. Yeah,
she and Laura Lynn Ledson are the two that create all of this great magic. And it's always a surprise to me, too.
Cool. So this has been going on for 17 years. It was inspired and remains inspired by the visual beauty of the mustard that starts blooming any day now. You know, if it stops raining for a week and the sun comes out, we will start to see the
first mustard.
Oh, is it? It's not in Sebastopol. Okay.
It is totally blooming all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there you go. It's already happening.
It's way ahead of schedule this year. Sometimes it's just barely starting for the opening event, but it's pretty much there.
Great. So there'll probably be big bouquets of mustard flowers.
Oh, yes. There will be big bouquets.
So the thing that we haven't really talked about yet is mustard, the condiment. And there's both mustard, the condiment, which is made from ground mustard seed, and then there's mustard, the vegetable, mustard greens, which, you know, there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And the greens the mustard for greens are not necessarily the greens from the plant that gives us the mustard seed. So there's lots of ways to think about mustard. But what I'm asking you now in this very roundabout way is how much does the food mustards or the foods that we call mustard factor into both mustard magic, but also the longer,
the whole
thing, which takes place over 3 months?
We incorporate mustard, the condiment, into an amazing array of dishes throughout the season. There's a lot of the chefs at Mustard Magic will have, there'll be a little element of mustard in what they're serving. There'll be, we have a mustard, a recipe competition, chef's competition that takes place at Black Stallion Winery on March 12th. We have a worldwide mustard competition, and last year, I think 7 countries entered. Every year, there's about 6 or 7 or 8 countries from around the world that enter. And we've had Russia, Japan, all kinds of people, Australia, you know, European countries. But they send in their entries to a guy named Barry Levinson.
Oh, Barry.
You know Barry?
I know Barry.
Oh, my God. Barry's just a hoot.
Barry was on Mouthful. Very early I think within the first 2 years of Mouthful, he was a guest. So he's still, because he sold the Mustard Museum.
Well, he moved it. And
but
it's
I thought
renamed.
He also sold it.
No.
Oh, because somebody else was running it when.
No, he didn't sell it. They just moved this year and they reopened in Madison, Wisconsin. And it's called, they changed the name because they're no longer in
Mount
Orb.
It was Mount Orb,
But it's now, and I'm sorry to say, I'm forgetting what it is. But
Madison Mustard Museum?
No, it's like International Mustard Museum or something like that. And he really knows a lot about mustard. Mm-hmm. But anyway, people mail their entries to Barry and they have to copy us on it. And, you know, we're all very organized with it. And he puts together a whole judging team and they judge mustard. And then we have like 14 categories and they select gold, silver, and bronze for
each category.
And then they take all the golds and do a final testing and select a worldwide, you know, the international champion.
Uh-huh. And when are all those the winners tasted at the festival?
And they'll be tasted on that night, the 12th of March at Black Stallion Winery. We have an entire display and tasting of all the mustards that win. And also the marketplace is our major event, and a lot of the companies have booths there, so you can taste mustards all until you're mustard, you know, you're full of mustard.
Right.
But this year, that's a big change for the Mustard Festival. We're having the marketplace is going to be in downtown Napa, and it's going to be called the Napa Riverwalk Marketplace. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people out there listening have seen Napa's new Riverwalk, but it's an incredible feat. It's beautiful. There's a beautiful park kind of in the middle, Veterans Memorial Park, with a natural amphitheater and a stage area. And then the Riverwalk goes both directions. Mm-hmm. And we have two new sponsors, Riverfront in Napa and Historic Napa Mill.
Oh, great.
Riverfront.
I love the mill.
I love the mill, too. And Riverfront is a great compliment. It's a huge very like $72 million condo complex that has it has a commercial first floor, and it has three celebrity chef restaurants. There's Morimoto Iron Chef is opening a restaurant there, and Tyler Florence is opening a restaurant. And the Lark Creek Inn Group is our opening restaurant. So those, they will be, it's not going to be opening until June. But, and then upstairs, they have luxury condominiums, you know, residential condominiums. So it's a fantastic place. And they stepped forward to help us, you know, create this event in downtown Napa. So there'll be various parking lots along the riverfront will be tented, and the mill and their patios and the promenade on the riverwalk and the riverfront. And so the event will be spread out over a couple of blocks, and it'll be bigger. There'll be more, and more people can attend. It used to be at Copia, and it was pretty, you know, full. But at any rate, it's going to be a logistical challenge for us to put together, and it should be a wonderful event. And there's lots of parking, which is really nice.
That's nice.
Yeah. And last year we had it in the transition of not knowing what we were going to do after Copia to Robert Mondavi Winery hosted the event, and it was wonderful there too. But everybody had to shuttle in, and this way people can, it's a little bit more open and can accommodate more people.
And Copia is an odd space.
It turned out great there, though.
Did
you ever come?
I didn't come to Marketplace.
Okay. It was really successful
there. Oh, good.
So we used the entire building and the parking lots, and the across the street they had a built-in stage area, and it was very, very nice. But I think this is going to be even more exciting and better.
It reminds me of actually a festival I went to in Kuching, which is in the state of Sarawak on the island of Borneo, Malaysian state of Sarawak, and I was a speaker at the International Pepper and Spice Conference. And I think during the day, both days of the conference was very academic. But then along the riverfront, there's a huge main river that goes through Kuching. They had this long walk and all these different tents, and it was the Pepper Festival.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it was very, very long walk on the river. And, you know, you're there in the tropical night and the mist off the river. And
it
was just
great.
Really, it was great. So that's what this means. We don't have the exact same weather, and that's a good thing.
Well, let's hope for sunshine.
Yeah, and even fine. You have tents.
Be tents and bring your umbrellas, and you know, it's
yellow umbrellas.
We've had probably, you know, a good part of the time the marketplace has been rained on a little bit, and it's really cozy in the tents, and people just have a great time. You know, last year it was sunshiny one day and it rained one day, and both days were just great. So
weather's weather. We have weather is, you know, I have no complaints with weather. Well, I do get kind of whiny when it's hot for a long time, but you know, rain doesn't bother me at all. It's Michelle Jordan. We are talking about the Napa Valley Mustard Festival here on Mouthful. Lots of events that they take place for 3 months, some of them to do with art, some of them to do with shopping, some of them to do with spending the night, a lot of them to do with food. They have an official chef, and just by pure coincidence, the chef is someone, and you know, if you listen to Mouthful very much, I don't have chefs on very often, but I do want to have Anne Gingras.
I think it's Gingras.
Gingras, okay. And I always want to call her Annie, because that's how, I don't know if I've met her, but I always think of her as Annie because so many people I know talk about her as Annie. And she's been doing something really interesting over at Bricks. I think it was August, September, and October. She did once a month with our friend Ray Tang, who is the chef who had the phenomenal Mariposa, which it was in Windsor. I still miss it. And then was opening chef and owner at Presidio Social Club as well. So he did Street Food Festival. He did Sicily. I think he did Bangkok. and I forget the other place, but he did three street food festivals. And so I was going to have Annie and Ray on and talk. And she, I know that one of the things she's doing right now is getting ready to plant a garden there at the mm-hmm. restaurant. So I thought that would be fun, but also to tie in the street food festival, because there will be more when the weather allows for it. But what is she doing for the mustard festival?
She is our host chef. Every year we have a host chef and a host winemaker. And the host winemaker is Juliana Lax at Cake Bread. Mm-hmm. And so together they will host the grand dinner, which is our only real sit-down dining extravaganza. Mm-hmm. It's like seven courses and matched with some of the absolutely high-end wines. Really, really great chefs. We have, let's see, I didn't bring a list with me, but I try to remember. We have Annie, and then we have Ken Frank from La Toque.
Oh, Ken. Ken was just on a couple of weeks ago, and I'm doing a story that involves him. I'm going over to Napa to see him in a couple of days.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yes, he really is.
We have known him since he was in L.A.
And
we met him by sending a brochure from our client, Sonoma Foie Gras, to him. And he called me and said, "How this is great." He ended up, we did a video with him about foie gras. This is like 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
Sort of corny video now, but it's at the time we thought it was really great. And he was great. We had a great time doing that. But at any rate, so Ken was our host chef last year. Mm-hmm. So he's our retiring host. And we have Greg Cole from Cole's
Shop House.
We have Jeff Jake from the Carneros Inn. Jeff used to be at Pebble Beach. He's wonderful. And his first restaurant job was at Domaine Shandani. He grew up in Yonkville.
Oh, perfect.
He was just a great guy. And we have, I'm now losing track of who I said. We have Richard Reddington from Red.
Oh, from Red.
Yeah.
And I've never been to Red, and I really want to be.
Oh, it is going to be just an incredible lineup of chefs and winemakers. I mean, the wines are incredible, too. So it's a dinner not to be missed if you want to have a really extravagant mm-hmm. dinner. And we actually even rolled back our prices this year just to make it, you know, even those people that like to spend a lot of money on dining out, it was $350 for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And this year we decided to make it $225.
Oh, wow.
You know, just a sign of the times, make it a little bit more affordable. And it's, you know, it's regularly selling, and I know we'll sell it out. Uh-huh. It's only for 100 people.
Now, where does it take place?
It's going to be at Brooks.
Oh, that's right. It's at Brooks.
Right.
Okay.
So all the chefs will be there cooking. You'll be able to see them, meet them. All the winemakers will be there. It'll be an incredible evening of food and wine. And
now, are they going to use the mustard theme food?
Every dish will have a little mustard, some kind of a touch of mustard. And it's amazing how versatile mustard can be.
One of the best gingerbreads you can make, I do a gingerbread pear cake, and it has mustard in it. And mustards are very common in certain desserts, and they add sort of this baseline, mm-hmm. if you compare to music. They just add, and this sort of voluptuousness as well. So they work really well.
Mm. Well, it is. I can hardly wait. That's going to be a great dinner. It's like the only dinner once a year I get to indulge in that dinner.
And tell me again, when is that?
It's the 19th of February.
February 19th.
Friday evening. And then, of course, our host, chef, and winemaker will be appearing at the majority of the events. They'll both be there mm-hmm. on next weekend at Mustard Magic. And mm-hmm. and this year, one of our events is moved. They'll both be at the photo finish, but it's going to be at Rubicon Estate, which is really exciting.
Yeah, what's going to be happening?
Yeah, it's going to be on the 27th of March.
Uh-huh.
And the photo contest, Rubicon Estate's visual designer is designing a gallery for it. It's going to be, you know, probably held in the stone caves, but he's making special gallery walls, and it's going to be really, really fun. Uh-huh. We had our chef's competition at Rubicon Estate a long time ago, and it was the most successful event there. I mean, it's just such a great place.
The best winery party
I
have ever been to. It was for the reason. Well, it was actually celebrating the unification of those two vineyards,
mm-hmm.
you know, when Coppola and Mondavi got into their bidding war, and mm-hmm. Coppola got, you know, was able to reestablish,
mm-hmm.
and they had a dinner. And, you know, the press always gets invited to a lot of dinners.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do all that because you have to stay home by yourself and work, mm-hmm. you know, to pay the rent. But this one I decided to go. I thought, Francis Coppola puts on a good party. And they were doing library tastings going back into the 30s with Inglenook wines.
Wow.
And so the tasting took place at, it was Tables for Eight. And then you go into the stone barrel room.
Uh-huh.
And there's one long, well, end-to-end tables sitting on the most gorgeous but subtle Asian carpets that went the length of the room. And there was another carpeted area where there was a grand piano and several musicians. But then overhead for the lighting, and you couldn't see anything behind it, were upside down umbrellas.
Oh, wow.
Asian, probably Vietnamese. They were mm-hmm. very beautiful in this beautiful sort of amber tawny color, lit so perfectly so that they cast this beautiful glow over all the guests. And it was just, it's still one of the best events I have ever been to. Totally mm-hmm. magical. And the food was good. Oh. The wines were outstanding.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
So anything at Rubicon.
Well, I'm really looking forward to working with them again mm-hmm. and being in that location. So it's nice to have some, I mean, you know, after 17 years, I mean, it's nice to have a pattern and manageable and know the logistics inside out and be able to do an event like Clockwork. But at the same time, it's really nice to have something brand new to challenge your imagination.
Yeah, and it's not gotten tired.
No, it hasn't ever gotten tired, but we still need to, you know, you need to make some changes now and then. And so this is a year when we're making two major changes with event venues and... Uh-huh. It will be, I'm sure, just really incredible.
Uh-huh. Now, changing the subject away from Mouthful, away from Mustard really quickly, what happened to Salute to the Arts? Because that was a very big and very popular event.
What happened to Salute to the Arts is corporate sponsorship primarily.
Oh, really?
When, you know, we were, first of all, when we started Salute to the Arts 25 years ago, there was nothing like it at all. It was completely innovative. It was a brainstorm.
I was at the first one.
I remember. Yeah.
I was a baby.
And, you know, I just had this idea like, okay, I had a client, Harry Marsden, that owned Overlay Restaurant.
And he actually, we
were having a press conference one day and he got into this big thing about all of the events in the plaza in Sonoma being hokey, and he wanted a real fine food event. And I said, hey, what a great idea. And I just thought, what a great idea. And I love art, so I wanted to make mm-hmm. it a food, wine, and art event. And I approached the Sonoma Valley Vintners, and they sponsored it for 2 years, and then we took off on our own and created the Sonoma Valley Arts Alliance, which was the sponsor. And it was incredibly successful for many years. But then we started running into the fact that everybody copied the event. Nobody did the same event. I've mm-hmm. never seen anything done really as well that didn't have the, you know, the plaza's a great setting. But everything just started getting so complicated. So many events to compete with, so many mm-hmm. sponsorships to compete with. Infineon started having races on the weekend.
So that made people getting up.
Yeah, the city decided that they were going to close one quadrant of the plaza every year, which diminished the event, scrunched mm-hmm. it together, and we had to recreate it every year in a different way. And we did that 2 years and it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
And primarily the financial aspects of it, because we just, in the midsummer, it's hard to get sponsors.
Yeah.
And so we have been bombarded with people over the last, even more since we haven't had it for two summers now.
Yeah.
I got bombarded with phone calls and emails saying, please bring this event back.
Yeah, I have participated in, I think, mm-hmm. every one of them.
Yeah, and so I said, well, if anybody wants to step forward with some funding, I would love to bring it back too. But I did it for the last 2 years without proper funding and had to, you know, sort
that makes
of
anything
carry,
really,
yeah, carry
really
the ball
difficult.
On it. So anyway, it's really sad that it's not there.
Yeah, well, you know, things are reborn.
Maybe.
You never know.
There may be.
Because, you know, things have to evolve and change, and they are. Everything is always evolving and mm-hmm. changing, and interest in the wine country and what the wine country is and that sort of thing. So I think some of the events that aren't so beloved, shall we say, that maybe don't have the long-term traction mm-hmm. will fade away and won't be competing anymore. So maybe there'll be room for that again.
Maybe. We will see.
Yeah. It would be nice.
It certainly was loved by a lot of people.
I liked the way there was a mix. I liked the mix of art, food, music, and literary elements. Mm-hmm. And having that literary element was so great. And the art element, mm-hmm. bringing that together. So that and everything was actually real.
And mm-hmm. that's where I actually bought your books, all of the books.
Is that where you always got them?
Was at the Salute to the Arts.
Yeah.
And it
I
was
sold
fun.
Tons of books
yeah,
there.
We had MFK Fisher there 1 year. It was so much fun. It really was.
Yeah.
Bringing all of the things that I love together into one, under one roof was yeah. as, and it's kind of like, to me, it was like maybe Christo's Fence in a little way. It was uh-huh. like a living work of art, just uh-huh. the whole event and how the traffic flow went and how everything looked. And, uh-huh. you know, it was just a work of art in itself that you created once a year. And, you know, it was tremendously hard to put up and very intricate details. And then it's the same with the Mustard Festival.
Yeah.
But then it just like comes down in 5 hours. It's
yeah,
done.
And then it's done. It's over.
Yeah.
Well, let's tell people how they get all the information they need about the Mustard Festival. Is the best thing to do just go to mustardfestival.org?
It's pretty complete,
okay.
but people are, you know, welcome to call.
Okay, and who should they call?
They can call us at 707-938-1133.
That's 938-1133, area code 707.
Right. And, of course, you know, nowadays the website is probably the most popular way to buy tickets and mm-hmm. to get information. It's really successful, and I would have never believed it, you know. 15 years ago.
Yeah. 15 years ago, no way. And you know, don't get me started, but that's another, the internet is suddenly changing, I've noticed in the last, I've really noticed it in the last 3 to 4 weeks. Something has changed with search engines. And it seems now that there are layers and layers of corporate direction trying to get you. So where I used to just looking, say, for the lyrics to an obscure Hawaiian song, type that in, I'd get to the website that had it. And I've noticed lately that I keep getting, if I take the higher, you know, the things that come up first on Google, I'll say, oh, and it'll have exactly what I want, you think. And I go there, and it's a site that's either trying to sell me something or trying to direct me to one of several other websites that have absolutely nothing to do with what I'm searching for.
I had that very experience today.
I had it several times, more today
yeah.
than any other day.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, and then it makes me think back to when you'd go out there and it was the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing. You know, just what you happened to stumble across, some person who'd taught themselves HTML and was doing some interesting, weird, bizarre thing. So I'm wondering, how are we going to learn to get past all? Because I was looking for the lyrics to a pretty obscure Hawaiian song. Never got to them.
Mm.
Probably spent 20 minutes and I could get it as a ringtone, you know, I could get sort of near it, but I could actually never, ever get there. And I'm pretty savvy.
Mm.
So it's...
Well, we have Facebook and Twitter, too.
Yes, we have Facebook. You know. Yeah, you can just go to Facebook and say, okay, who has the lyrics? Who knows the website? Well, Pat, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. You had to move tree branches to get here.
So, I should have been prepared for that with the way the weather's been.
And, well, and plus you really rose to the occasion. I asked you at the last possible minute. And on that note, good luck. Maybe I'll see you next Friday.
We will
or next
see
Saturday.
You. We
next
will
Saturday.
See you.
Not Friday. And we didn't really go into detail about Mustard, the food here. I was going to talk to you a bit about some of the things in my book. But, you know, you can always send me emails at catsmilk@sonic.net. I even have a few copies of the Good Cook's Book of Mustard for sale, available only through me. And check out my columns in the Press Democrat, because haven't done a mustard column in a couple of years. In the meantime, meet me back here next week when we will be talking about with our friends from one of the Appalachians on the East Coast, where also I think we'll have Barbara Gannon of Hali'i Mali General Store Restaurant and one of the founding chefs of the Hawaiian Regional Cuisine Movement. Have a great week. Stay warm and dry.
Me and Mr. Mustard sleeps in the park, shapes in the